just what does Christ bring into our lives? Just what does his name mean for our day-to-day existence? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Today, Pastor Jim brings us the conclusion of a powerful message on the deliverance that Jesus offers us by the strength of his own power. It's a compelling promise. It's a powerful message. And it's a question that we must seriously engage our hearts to deal with. Here's Pastor Jim.
Remember the Beatitudes of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? We see them in a couple places. The clearest is Matthew. Matthew 5, I'm going to start in the third verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? He's not talking here about the physically poor. He's talking about the poor in spirit. Those who are unable to look at themselves as anything more than what they are. When I was in cells, I ran across a lot of people who weren't exactly what they thought they were. You ever met them? They're out there, aren't they? They're all around us. People who think that they are all that, but are not. Of course, most of those who I ran across that were that way, not all, but most, were the ones I worked with. But that's another story. The fact is that people find pride in all the things of this world, don't they? I don't care what it is, people can find pride in the things of this world. They can find pride in how well they cut wood. I had an uncle passed away a few years ago. He was like a monkey. He could climb up a tree and cut branches. He'd go out, way out in the ends of those branches and cut them. He was amazing at it, but he was pretty proud of it. I know a garbage man who collects garbage, and he will tell you he is the best garbage man around. Of course, he doesn't use that word. He uses a different terminology for garbage man, but he'll tell you he's the best. We find that everywhere. When I was in sales, I would have, in management, I would have people come in and interview, and they would tell me how good they were at something and make it sound as if I didn't hire them, I would be so foolish. And some of them I actually hired and found out that was the foolish thing to do. They're there. They're everywhere. There are those who think that they are spiritual giants. There are those who think that they know God's word. There are those who believe that their understanding of God's word is superior to anyone else's. I want you to know, when it comes to God's word, we should stand firm on it, but we should always be corrected by it, because we apply our human thinking to it. And when we apply our human thinking to God's word, we get a little off. And so as we grow, God's word will grow us in our understanding. But there are those, some are standing at pulpits, and some are sitting in pews, and some are sitting at home because they're too smart to come to church, that know everything. Those are not the spiritually poor, though they really are. Spiritually poor are those who in themselves know that they are nothing. Isn't that what the word teaches us? You and I are nothing. We are not some great thing that Jesus is lucky to have. Though sometimes we act like that. I've had people actually tell me that it would be a blessing to me if I was in their church, or if they were in my church. That if they came to church, it would be a great blessing to me. You know, most people who come to church and don't say that are a great blessing to me. But when someone says that, there's something else going on. There was a man who came and talked to me, and I've shared a story about him before. But this man came and told me he wanted to come to Lighthouse. And when I made him an elder, he said, you haven't even come to Lighthouse. And when I make you an elder, He was telling me that I was going to make him an elder when he came to Lighthouse and the things that he was wanting to do. Well, I'm wondering if he is all that, why didn't the church that he's at now make him an elder? Right? He didn't come because he didn't like my response. The spiritually poor need Jesus. The spiritually poor are not all that. The spiritually poor rely on Christ. And they need the good news. And the good news is Christ does, Christ can, and if Christ wills, it's done. That's the good news. He went to the cross and paid the debt for our sins that caused us to be captives. So the beatitude of blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, is because those who rely solely on God and not themselves, solely on Jesus and not themselves, that is who the kingdom of heaven is for, that we would be with him. The Beatitudes go on, though, and I feel like these kind of all go together as we look at them. Verse 4 of the Beatitudes says, this is in Matthew 5, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's part of being poor in spirit. What are they mourning? Are they mourning the loss of somebody? They're mourning their sin. When you commit sin, do you say, oh, well, I'll repent tomorrow? Do you say, oh, well, I have a forgiving God, it's no problem? Or do you say, oh, Lord, you who has saved me, you who has washed me clean, again, I have turned to my own desires, my own wants, my own likes, my own lust, and away from you. Oh, please forgive me, Lord, as I mourn over my foolishness of loving myself and my sin. Those will be comforted with the knowledge of who Christ is, what he has done for them. And those who are the poor in spirit will receive the kingdom of God. But let's go on to the fifth verse. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus tells us a story, a parable about going to a dinner party. He says, don't go sit at the head of the table. Because if you go and you sit at the head of the table, what's liable to happen? The host is liable to come to you and say, hey, this seat's reserved for somebody else. You come sit down here at the other end. He said, but sit at the low end and you might be exalted. Jesus Christ will exalt the meek. Who are the meek? Those who know who they are, that without Christ they are nothing. That's who the meek are. And they shall inherit the earth, the new earth. Verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. What does it mean to hunger and thirst for righteousness? That's to understand that with any knowledge you have, it is minimal. And if you get into God's Word and study, you will grow in that knowledge. You will grow in humility. If you hunger and thirst to hear about the great and mighty God, it begins to change your attitude towards the things of this world and turn them to the things of the world to come. I don't know about you, but for me, when I study in God's Word so often, I realize the wretchedness of who I am. I realize how low I am and how little I know. I've had times when I have debated men who I would say were scholars because I saw what they said as wrong. And I've had times when I have had a little old lady about this tall say something to me and it crushed me because she was right. No matter how much knowledge I gain, I want to hunger and thirst for God's Word. I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to hunger and thirst for God. Because apart from Him, I am nothing and I have nothing. The 10th verse, Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The 11th verse, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. See how all these Beatitudes are about humility and understanding who we are. When I was a young man and I look back at those days, I think of how much foolishness I was filled with. I think of how many things I did that I now regret and wish I had never taken part in. I'm sure none of you feel that way, right? But at the same time, I am thankful from where God has brought me and to where He is taking me. You see, in my past, I thought I was free and could do whatever I wanted to do. I thought there was no one else like me. I was strong, I was smart, I was all these things. I remember I used to run a chain of furniture stores. And I came in one day and several of the employees were out in the back of the store. And I asked them what they were doing, and one of them had been taking some martial arts classes, and he was out there showing them how he would break boards. I said, "Show me." And so they showed me. And he took four boards, stacked them on top of each other, a little spacer, and he broke those four boards with his hand. He's pretty proud of himself. I said, "Put five on there." And I broke the five. I said, "Get back to work." Because I was stronger and better than everybody until God showed me who I was. When God showed me who I was, I realized just how low I was and just how captive I was to my sin. When the time came to leave Texas and come back here, I feared coming back here. Because this is the town and the area where my foolishness was most known. But God called me back here. I had been captive to my sin, and I couldn't stop. Do you have sin that you can't stop? Is there something that you are held captive to that you think, okay, I have defeated it, and then it comes right back on top of you? If you say no, I'll say, "I'm sorry, you're a liar." Because we all have sin that the evil one brings back on us time after time after time. And we have to refight the battle time after time after time. In our verses a couple of weeks ago, it said that the evil one, that Satan, had left Jesus until a more opportune time. That's what he does to us. When we have won victory over our sin and he leaves us, he comes back and offers us that same sin again, over and over. And we become captive to it. But Jesus has proclaimed liberty to those. That's what he came for, to break those bonds. So if those bonds are still holding us, then we have allowed them to hold us because they don't have to. Because in Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, they can be broken. They can be removed. Oh, but when I was locked in my sin, I was blind to the truth. There was more than one person God sent my way when I was lost in my sin. More than one person that I sent away after they had tried to tell me truth. Why would I send them away? Because I was blind. I had no eyes to see truth. I had no ears to hear truth. I was spiritually blind, and I could not overcome it on my own. Do you think you can overcome sin on your own? Do you think you can overcome those things that have taken hold of you on your own? That's why we fail when we fight our sin, is because we fight our sin in our strength when Christ has already set us free, and we need to go in His strength, turning to Him. When the scriptures say He gives us an escape, He is the escape. He is the escape. Cling to Him. Because you can't do it. You cannot beat your sin. And I was so blinded to it, I just thought I could do anything. Jesus came to set at liberty for those who are oppressed. Our sin oppresses us, doesn't it? Our sin oppresses us. What happens is when we sin, we get to a point where we don't want to be around our brothers and sisters in Christ because they're going to figure it out, right? We don't want to be around our brothers and sisters in Christ because we are held captive, we are oppressed by the sin and the shame that we have. And so, we fall away from church. But we're not willing to say that we've gone away from Christ. And so that's why people tell me, well, I just don't believe in the corporate church. Not believing in the corporate church. And my translation means, I don't know and love God enough to allow my brothers and sisters to see who I am. Because especially when you go to a little church, we know who each other are, don't we? You see my flaws, I see your flaws, and we hopefully in love hold each other accountable. But when we are oppressed by our sin, we are held captive, we are blinded by it, we think that we can overcome it. As God began to call me when I was a young man, I actually remember in a prayer saying to Him, God, I have to take care of some things and then I'll come back. How foolish is that? What could I take care of apart from Him? But I remember those actual words in a prayer. I was feeling His call and yet turned away. Those were sad days for me to look back at. But I'm so thankful that the day came when He showed me myself. Remember the prodigal son? When he was in the pig pen, the Bible says, depending on your version, when he came to himself. What that really means is when he got a good look at himself, when he realized who he was. Sometimes when we realize who we are, it's a little ugly, isn't it? It's a little hard to swallow, it's a little hard. But if we address it correctly, then we will humble ourselves and know the need that we have for Jesus Christ. And that He is the only way for us. Tell you about a man, this is out of Acts, this is Paul talking about his own conversion. But beginning in the 12th verse of that chapter, in this connection I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, this is talking to Agrippa, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, and it shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of the sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul's telling this story. He's telling about how proud he was. Remember, Paul was Saul, the great persecutor of the church. And as he journeyed, this authority, this commission he had from the chief priest was to go and to persecute, arrest, beat, whatever it took those of the church, those of the way, those who profess Jesus Christ as Lord. But God brought Paul down, didn't he? He brought him down to the ground, in fact. Verse 14 of that says, "And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me." From that point on, Paul tells us, you know, I have the credentials to stand with anybody, but I am nothing but the chief of sinners who has been set free by the grace of God. Friends, we have been oppressed. We have been captive. We have been blind. But Jesus is the good news who sets us free, proclaims liberty, gives us sight. As I read through the New Testament, and so much of the New Testament is written by Saul, who became Paul, as I read through it, his understanding of Jesus Christ is equal to those greatest apostles that walked with him. And yet his humility was clear. He was set free. In Psalm 146, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." 103:6, Psalm 103:6. 107:9. "For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." The soul that is hungry for him and for his word, the soul that is hungry for righteousness and thirsty for righteousness, he satisfies. Friends, at any age, it is easy for us to hunger and thirst for the things of this world. I know good church-going people who need more of what they have. They need bigger houses, nicer cars, better boats, and they need those things because they are still bound to their sin. That's why I call them churchgoers and not Christians, not brothers and not sisters. But Jesus, in our text there in Luke, verse 19, says he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He came to profess the year of the Lord's favor. There's a lot of different ideas on what that means as I look at the different commentaries and scholars. But I think it goes along with this verse, 2 Corinthians 6:2. 2 Corinthians 6:2. "For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you." In a day of salvation, he has helped you. That verse goes on to say, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That is what Jesus brought. You do not have to be captive. You do not have to be dissatisfied with where you are. You do not have to be oppressed. You do not have to be blind to the word, because Jesus Christ lives, because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin, that you would be free. He, the Son, He, God the Son, He set us free. He opened our eyes. He has brought good news to us, because we know apart from Him, we are nothing. Please stand with me. Oh, Father, Lord, as we continue here today and in prayer now, I ask you, Father, that you would please bring each of us to ourselves, that each of us would realize that we truly are in the pig pen, in the pigsty, and that you have so much to give us. who you have called according to your purpose. Strengthen us to turn away from our sin. Strengthen us to love each other no matter what sin they have fallen into, that we would love each other enough to point to you. Strengthen us, Lord, to realize how weak we are and how much we need you. It's in the name of Christ Jesus I pray. Amen.
What a glorious truth. We are free indeed if we are in Christ. Oh, my beloved, what is it that you need to be set free from? What is it that's been owning you while you pretend that you are the master? Whatever it is, I urge you to run to the cross and find in Christ the forgiveness and the power to set you free forever. God is calling us today, but he may not call you tomorrow. This is the day of his favor. This is the acceptable day of the Lord. Repent now while it's still called today. We will be praying that God move in your heart and draw you unto himself. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send you if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. May God bless you and bless the hearing of his word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. Today, I would like to talk to you about a random group of things. First off, when this comes out, the elections will have already happened. You'll either be pleased or displeased with who is elected in your district across the country. And I want to ask you to do one thing. No matter whether it's somebody you wanted to see go into office or somebody you didn't want to see in office, pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray that God would use them. Pray that God would use them for his own glory, and that they would do things that were honoring to him. But most of all, like I said, pray for their salvation. If these politicians who are so ungodly sometimes would come to know Christ, it would change everything, because Christ changes everything. So be in prayer for them, and just lift them up. The next thing is, I wanted to thank those of you who have sent in prayer requests. At this point, our church receives prayer requests from really all around the world, and we would like to continue that. So if you have a prayer request, you are welcome to contact us through all the radio means that Pastor Eugene gives. So just contact us there, leave a message, send it in the mail, whatever it might be, and we will most certainly, most definitely be in prayer. And again, we do thank you who have already sent that out. And then finally, we are looking at putting together a monthly newsletter. We've had some people that have mentioned this to us, that they would like to have something like that. So if you would like to be a part of receiving a monthly newsletter from Light of the Word Radio, please let us know. Contact us through all the usual means and let us know that you would like it. We need your email address, because we're going to start out by doing this through email. So give us your email address and we'll send it out to you. And I guess my time is up. So until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.